I had an email from Linda Moulton Howe. We wanted to talk about those structures off the coast of Cuba. Now, you might remember back in 2001, Paulina Zielinski and Paul Weinzweig of Advanced Digital Communications were able to spot about 1,000 feet down in the water these incredible structures off the western tip of Cuba. Submerged city. Some say they could be pyramids, buildings, roads. A lot of people theorize maybe this could be where Atlantis might have been. Who knows? Others have said no. When the former Soviet Union during the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 60s had to dismantle, they dropped heavy concrete, cement, and whatever structures they were using to build these missile silos. That's what they are. Nobody knows. What Paulina wanted to do was to obtain funding in order to get a small submarine down there and really take some pictures and spot just what these structures just might be. So she went to the National Geographic. I think it would have made a great television special myself. She has been unable to get the funding to do this, to get the kind of submarine to go down deep enough and check that out. I, however, have my own theory that people who own bigger submarines have already been down there and they know what these structures are. And they're just making it a little difficult for Paulina and Paul to get their funding to go and do what they're supposed to do. It's a shame. 2001, they spotted these structures. Here we are 5 years later and still nothing. Linda, thank you for those updates, by the way. We've got open lines for you now for the next couple hours. The lines are open for you. Except we'll also have a trucker's hotline. That number is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. That number's reserved just for you truckers. Now, you can call on the other lines if you want, west, east, first time, and wild card. But just for truckers only, 818-817-0021. Because you see the unusual, the strange, and the bizarre. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Let's go to the phones. By the way, great 2 hours with Linda Moulton Howe. That was as packed with as much information as I have heard from her in 4 years. And she's got a lot. Let me tell you, this is the ultimate of compliments here. That was absolutely riveting. I mean, talking about how those planes all crashed after these UFOs were confronted. I mean, that's amazing stuff. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Kelly in Cleveland. How are you?
Kelly, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
I had, actually two things, but one thing that, unless you have time, but I had one thing that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
My son is three.
Happy birthday to the little guy.
Well, he'll be four soon, but we're going to say he's three because mommy doesn't want him to grow up too fast. My mother-in-law, who just passed away in August, was my husband's stepmother. But we call her grandma because she was the only person that the children knew as grandma.
Okay, I see.
And she was Slovenian, and we call her Marica because that was her given name, Maria. But in Slovenian, it's Marica.
Marica.
Marica, yes, with a J.
Okay.
And about 4 months, and my son was very, very close to her. I mean, when she passed away that morning, he was there. He was the only grandchild there when we took her out of the house. She had terminal cancer, and we took her out of the house, and she went to the funeral home, and we said our goodbyes. And it was a very somber time, but we were very honest with him. You know, Maritza's gone to heaven, and she's with God, and you can talk to her, but she's physically not going to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And about 4 months later, we were in our basement. I was actually upstairs, and my husband was on the computer in our family room in the basement with my son, and he said, "Daddy," he said, "I see Maritza." And my husband said, "You do?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, what is she wearing?" And he said, "Oh, she looks so pretty, Daddy. She's in a blue dress with black flowers, and her hair is done, and she's very happy, and she's making soup. And she just came to say hello. Well, my son's favorite thing was the farina dumpling chicken soup, which is a very Slovenian thing that she would make for him every day when he would go over to their house. And we did not take him to the open casket or to the showing. We only took him to the church.
Sure, I can understand that, too. Three-year-old little kid. I'm not sure you want to show
that. She had on, he said she had on a blue dress with black flowers. She had on a black dress with blue flowers.
Huh.
And this is a dress that he had never, ever seen before.
Do you think he really did see her spirit, her entity?
I totally believe that. I really, really believe that. Because my husband's mother passed away in 88, and her name was Radka. And I never knew her. I had met my husband 10 years later. And again, Maritza was the woman that my father-in-law married, you know, after the fact, and she was the grandmother, and, you know, none of the kids knew Radka, but they knew of Stada Mama, which is the grandmother, and she was up in heaven. And he said, but she's with Stada Mama, and Stada Mama is in a blue dress with pink flowers, and they're making soup together. And my husband's mother was married in a blue dress with pink flowers.
That is something. Now, the next time the phone rings, if the little guy picks up the phone and he's talking to her, then there's some real connection going on.
Right. And we were actually in a store before Christmas, and there was a baby crying, and he said, Mommy, he said, Maritza is up over there in the ceiling, and she sees the baby, and she's telling the baby that it's okay.
Look, don't ever discourage him either. Never. Because those little kids are tuned in, and I'm telling you, they have the ability to see the spirit world, and it's a gift. They grow out of it. Don't discourage them. Let's go on to the Truckers Hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George.
Where are you driving?
I'm driving through Atlanta right now. How's that?
There you are. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to open up the Truckers Hotline tonight is I just wanted to get some of these incredible stories that you men and women go through all the time.
Okay, well, I was calling. I'm originally from Albuquerque. Grew up there all my life.
Yeah.
And referring to what that... My name's Jason, by the way. I'm sorry. She was talking about the bases that they just recently found, the radar bases.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that she didn't talk about that's just west of Albuquerque out on the Mesa Flats out by the volcanoes. My father and I found it years and years ago back in the late 70s, early 80s. We were out rabbit hunting, and it's a lot subdivided up there now and built up. But back then, it was nothing but tumbleweeds and rabbits and coyotes. And we stumbled across this ghost town-looking base out there that had about 8 or 10 steel shacks and some radar-looking things on there. I was only about 10 years old, but I was just mesmerized. My dad told me we had to get out of there really quick, but I never could ever find it again. As I got older, I'd go out there all the time trying to find that place, and I could never find it again. It's like they bulldozed it.
You know, they probably did. There's no doubt about it.
And nobody ever knew about it. I asked about it. I even asked my grandfather, who worked at Sandia Labs. He was a special weapons engineer in Sandia Labs on Kirtland Air Force Base, and he used to take me there when I was a kid, and I got to see all kinds of neat things over there. But New Mexico is a phenomenal place. You see all kinds of things. I've seen UFOs. Yesterday, when you had the gentleman on talking about the trucks that were driving through White Sands and just disappearing into the mountains, there's a tunnel city down there, and it goes all the way from Fort Bliss all the way up to Fort Carson, Colorado, and in between Los Alamos, Alamogordo, Roswell, all those places. It's a bunch of tunnels that intersect and everything where they've got a bunch of military stuff going on down under there.
New Mexico probably as a state has more history when it comes to unusual things than any other state in the country.
Right. It's the Area 51. If you call it Area 29, it's the best kept secret that everybody knows about.
You got that right. Well, drive carefully.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How are you doing tonight, George?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. My name is Len. I'm calling from Utah. I was calling you a while back. I sent you a letter about it's a true story about a lady that seems to, I don't know about just visiting my family, but seems to be getting around a bit. first time she was seen was when my mother was a little girl at about 16 years old in San Jose, California. And then I saw her when I was about 13, 14 years old, growing up, and didn't pay much attention to her until I told them I saw this lady and explained to my mom and grandmother at the dinner table who I saw, and they both went white because that lady had visited and had, you know, my mom had seen this lady.
Did she look the same?
She looked exactly the same. Right down to her frilly collar, down to the cane, to the cameo, to the flawless features in her face. She's a very serene lady. My mother saw her, and it was strange how she saw her. She had walked out of her house to go down to the corner to mail a letter in the mailbox, as you used to do in those days. And I'm talking 1951. And she walked out of the house and saw the lady walking down the street. She, and in those days, like when I was growing up, you knew everybody in the neighborhood.
Right.
This lady wasn't part of the neighborhood. And my mother was walking down the street, saw her across the street. And where my mother lived there in San Jose, it was a very wide street. It even had a row of trees going down the middle. But she looked across the street, and this lady's walking down the street. She's very upright, very healthy looking, and so on. And doesn't pay too much attention to her. So my mom had to go about four houses down. They're large houses with like 100-foot wide yards, very, very big yards. And she gets to the mailbox, opens the mailbox, puts a letter in. She turns around, and this lady is face to face with her.
Right there, right by the mailbox.
Right at the mailbox.
God.
She's not 3 inches away. She looks at my mother and says, "Oh, I'm sorry. You're not the one."
Whoa. What was she after? She was on a mission.
Mom, she was. My mom said, "Oh, thank you," and so on. And she walks back towards the house, and the lady stood there and watched her for a couple moments at the mailbox. And then she walked back while she's walking back across the street there at the corner. And my mom got into the house and looked down the street and looked across, you know, up towards the corner there, couldn't see the lady. And my mom was in her doorway, and she turned around and looked at the lady and said, and she saw her, and she was directly across the street at her girlfriend's house. And everybody thought the two of them were twins, but they were not related whatsoever.
Right.
And she was outside the house, and she was waving at the house like, "You need to come outside," or something, but wasn't saying anything. And then the lady turned and walked back up the street from almost the same direction as she had gone before. And my mom didn't think much of it. But the following morning, the little girl's father came across the street to let everybody know that during the night, because she had had a problem with mumps and so on, the little girl had died.
Oh, my
friend.
And this lady was there to find her. It's got to
be. And I saw the same lady. That's what scared my mother and my grandmother.
They thought you were next.
Well, I was walking where we grew up in Santa Clara, just outside of San Jose. Again, neighborhood, everybody knows everybody. And it was a very tight-knit neighborhood because most of the people worked at a state hospital for the state of California across the road. So you knew who was in the neighborhood, and every once in a while you'd see somebody who didn't belong, and sometimes it would have been somebody who shouldn't have come off the reservation, let's say, and you'd tell somebody, and they'd say, "Okay, that's so-and-so, but they'll pick them up and take them back to where they belong." And it was nothing violent or anything about it. It's just that these folks were mentally challenged, and they really needed to be in a controlled setting.
Sure.
Anyways, I saw this lady walk, and I'm walking down the street, literally going down to the general store, down the corner market, pick up a couple of things for dinner that evening with my mom, my grandmother, who was over. And my mom had never told this story to anybody. You know, my grandmother knew it, but she had never told it to me, had never spoken a word of it. And I see this lady. I mean, she's just absolutely beautiful, but she's an older woman. I want to say she's in her 70s, but she's just, something about her is absolutely beautiful.
What do you think the connection is, though, with your family and this
I don't know if it's
lady.
Just my family. I don't know. The third time I saw her was when my father passed back in 99.
She's definitely maybe an angel or something. because she doesn't sound like she's particularly violent by any means, pretty benevolent, as a matter of fact. She's a helper. That's what she is, a helper. I've got to take another call. Thanks. Truckers Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey there.
Well, there you are. Where are you?
I'm in Hamburg, Iowa.
Well, welcome to the program. What have you, seen, sir, driving around?
Well, two summers ago, I was in California taking U.S. 46 from Lost Hills, California, to 101 to go up to Salinas and pick up some produce. It was late at night, and I looked off to the right, and I saw this bright light in the sky that was close toward the ground. And it got increasingly brighter and brighter as it got close to me, but it made no sound whatsoever. And as it got closer to me, I could see that it was some kind of missile of some sort, because it had smoke coming out of the back of it in a corkscrew fashion. But in the middle of the cylinder, there was this glowing neon greenish light that came from it. And the silence was unbelievable, but it was moving incredibly fast. And then it did a 90-degree turn and went straight up in the sky. And within seconds, it looked like it was a star up in the universe, just that quick, how fast it moved. Now, I don't think it was a UFO. I would think it was something that they were testing and working on. But, oh, how I wish I had a camera to take a picture of it, because it was remarkable. I had pulled over on the side of the road and was standing on my running board looking at this thing. It was incredible to see.
Did you think for a moment it was going to hit you?
Well, you know, I was concerned that, you know, is this some kind of weapon and are we under attack, or, you know, something got away and, you know, there's no way I can run from it because it's just moving way too fast. But it was the silence of the thing that was the most eerie thing, because with all the light coming out of the back of it, as bright as the yellow light was, and with the neon glowing in the middle, I mean, it just looked like it should be making some kind of noise, but it was silent. And then when it did that, executed that turn, it was unbelievable to see.
About how high was it off the ground?
It was probably about 300 feet off the ground. I mean, it was really close.
Yeah.
Moving fast, you know.
I wonder if it just went off course.
You know, I don't know, but when it did that turn and went straight up, it was good that it went straight up, let me tell you. But how quickly it disappeared up into the sky was totally unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's also possible it got up high enough and then it just ran out of fuel, and you know, the green hue that you saw, that kind of light, that burned out as well. And but it was a good thing that it kept going. How'd you like to see one of those happen? It reminds me, though, a little bit of that great scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when Richard Dreyfuss was in his truck and you see a couple cars come behind him, and the first thing you do is you think, oh my gosh, it's a UFO. And then the lights move away and they come up alongside of him and you go, ha. But then the last time, it is one. And that just eerie feeling as it comes up behind you and just kind of hovers back there and comes up over him. And I've never, ever have I seen one yet. I would love to. I really would. Close enough where you could see occupants. That's what I would like. Well, we're going to continue with open lines. This was a fast half hour. We've got an hour and a half of it left. If you need to email me, that's always simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. If you miss the televised prediction show on cable, if you're in Canada, you're going to get it on February 2nd on your cable outlet. Those of you who have satellite, you can watch it straight off the internet. Of course, anybody can watch it straight off the internet by going to www.predictions.tv. And I'll be back in a moment with the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. What an appropriate song, especially for the Truckers Hotline. That number is 818-817-0021. Well, it's time to say hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations around the United States and in Canada. Hello to you, and thank you for your tremendous support of Coast to Coast. Those of you who are listening on Streamlink, hello, Coast Riders. Good to have you aboard. Those of you participating in the free Streamlink weekend, hello to all of you. I hope you enjoy it. You can download 90 days worth of free programs, so enjoy the weekend doing that. Satellite members from XM, which include a lot of you truckers, hi to you. And then the various chat rooms all over the place. Once again, the Coast Riders from Streamlink, the NighthawkZone.com folks, hello to you. Thanks for your support. And happy anniversary. You're coming up on number 6 pretty soon, aren't you? That's 6 months. That's how fast they've grown. The Fantastic Forum Pirates. Special hello to all of you. And all of you from the Yahoo chat rooms, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC. The list grows. And a matter of fact, if you want to mention, because I do this on Fridays, just send a little note to Lex at coasttocoastam.com. He's the webmaster. Sean is there too. And they'll compile it and then they'll get it over to me. And then we'll get you on the list of the ever growing list of memberships listening to Coast, sitting back and just letting your mind wander. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I think it was in the late 60s. I'll always remember Convoy because it was on 8-track. And that thing went crazy in my car, went haywire. And the tape just went all over the place. It just wrapped itself around 71 to 76. Really? My gosh. I still had an 8-track in 76?
Still do.
All right, let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Doing great, thanks. Where are you calling from?
Finally remember those 8-tracks, man. Calling from Norfolk.
Isn't it amazing how technology has moved along?
Yes, sir. It sure is. Who knows what they're going to have even 10 years from now.
That's true.
You know? Well, I wanted to call about past guest Gary Patterson, the rock and roll guy.
Oh, yeah. Great guy. Our Gary Patterson.
Yeah, I love listening to him. But one thing, I listened to a radio station. They have the Beatles Hour on. And this one guy took a perspective that it wasn't Paul who had died, but the other three Beatles.
Now, that's strange. I've never heard that twist before.
And he could actually find, you know, clues on the album covers or clues in the songs to support his theory. And I guess the whole exercise was basically about how our perceptions, if we see something, you know, and we look for it, then we can find evidence for it.
So in his case, he's saying then that John Lennon died and then he died again.
That
basically.
Something like that, yeah.
That
but I think it was all just an exercise. He was trying to, you know, debunk the Paul is dead myth.
Sure.
By doing that. And when you did listen to the clues or did see the ones that he picked out from various songs, like I think Come Together was one when he was saying one and one and one is three, that was supposed to be a clue that the other three Beatles had died and Paul was still alive and all that.
See, I don't think Paul ever did die, but I think they were dropping clues on purpose because I think they wanted to sell more records.
Oh, sure.
And
I remember
they were brilliant.
In high school doing that, you know, we'd all sit around and naturally we were a little bit in an altered state, but spin the records around and if you listen for it, certain things did sound like it, you know.
Altered state in high school?
Well, you know, it was high school, George, so, you know.
But you got through it.
Got through it, yeah.
And look at you now.
Look at me now, that's right.
All right, hey, thanks.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Time to get Patterson back on the air, by the way. East of the Rockies, your turn, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Tom from Ohio. How's it going?
Hi, Tom. Good, thanks.
Good, good. Hey, I'm pretty much a Johnny come lately. I came across your show a couple months ago and have been listening to you ever since. You have an awesome
How did
program.
You find us? I love asking new time listeners that.
Actually, just turned the AM station on and kind of started spinning the button and found you.
And there we are. Okay, good. Well, we're glad you're aboard.
I was telling my neighbor about you the other day, and I was telling her about one night you had a program on. You were talking about a gentleman who had said something about March 13th, and he kind of was avoiding the question.
Yes,
or something.
That was Dr. Lewis Turry.
Okay.
And he has made predictions pretty accurate. I mean, there's only one that I think he missed. That was in November 29. He claims something was thwarted and didn't occur, but it would have had the FBI not jumped in. So I don't know. But other than that, he's been very accurate on the dates. He doesn't necessarily know exactly what's going to happen. He may say, for example, March 13th, mass evacuation,
right.
As he said last year. And sure enough, you get a hurricane right around that time period,
right.
And 3 million people have to flee or something like that.
Right, right. Well, I've been bragging to my neighbor, like I said, about your programs and stuff, and I had told her about what you had said about that, and evidently with the stuff going on with Iran and stuff, she was looking into something, and she found out that the president of Iran, this guy that's stirring up all the trouble, evidently his birthday is March 13th.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
So.
Yeah, this guy's strange. I can't figure him out yet.
Definitely.
Okay, thanks for the call, and I'm glad you found us.
All right, bye-bye.
I love New Time listeners. Truckers Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. Where might you be?
I'm in Ohio. It's Shane.
A lot of people in Ohio.
Well, yeah. We all like Ohio.
That's an interesting horn there, Shane.
Well, it's a Mac.
That explains it.
Hey, that noise that they had was talking about here about 6 months ago that they had heard in Liberty, Ohio?
Yes.
One time, it's been a couple of years ago, I was in Canada, up there east of Peterborough, Canada, Ontario. I was going to pick up a load, get up there about 1 o'clock in the morning. It was a real nice night, nice cool breeze blowing at night, summer night. And I thought I'd shut the truck off, roll the windows down, and sleep with the truck off. Well, I rolled the windows down, I'm sitting there doing my paperwork, and I heard this screaming off in this woods. I could not figure out what it was. I sat there and listened to it. Well, all in all, I ended up rolling the windows up, turning the truck on, so I wasn't blocking the doors and all that. But then when you played that sound on the radio, I just sent chills up my spine because it was the exact same noise that I heard up in Ontario, Canada.
It does not sound human, does it?
It does not sound human. I tried telling my wife about it. She said, oh, you're crazy, you're nuts. But then she was listening to the show that night. She heard it. She goes, oh, I guess you weren't too crazy, were you?
Well, I got to tell you, with you guys driving all around the country, you must come across some really scary things.
Oh, some nights when you're up and you're tired and you've been up for a while, you see some things. You don't know what it is.
What are the regulations now for driving? Is it 8 hours or can you go 10?
It's 11 now.
11?
Regulations.
Okay.
Yeah. 11 hours. But we can't work more than 14 hours straight. It's really weird.
Even at 11, you get tired. You got to get tired, don't you?
Oh yeah. There's some days, and you get pretty tired. I'm not over the road anymore. I got a local job now, but it was just crazy sometimes, some of the hours you put in. And it's when you're sitting behind the wheel for 10 straight hours, you start to see some things that you don't know if you really seen it or not.
When you were really going big distances, what's the worst weather you were ever driving in?
Oh, geez, I got to say it was up in New York, going across the thruway in New York, just snow, you couldn't see. I put it, the rumble strips that they have on the side of the road, I had to keep my right wheels on the rumble strips just so I knew I was on the road still.
Oh, man. And how fast were you going? Just slowly, huh?
Probably about 5, if that.
That was it. Hey, that's speeding in L.A.
Yeah, during rush hour.
You got it. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for the good work, George.
All right, let's move on to our first-time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Dave. I'm calling from, Chicagoland. I listen to you on WLS.
Well, welcome, Dave. And now they've added that fourth hour to the program, and everybody's happy up there now.
Yeah, it's great. Especially, working the graveyard. You keep me company all night. But last night, you were talking about the Bin Laden tape.
Yes.
What I was thinking is that the CIA probably verified it as being Bin Laden rather quickly because our government has engaged in deception so often that, what I'm thinking is that they manufactured it.
Well, you know what? There are some people, including a Duke University professor, who believe that Bin Laden is dead. We've had some psychics on the air who believe Bin Laden is dead, and they think this is an old tape or a tape that was structured and put together. It's really weird.
Yeah. I really think that probably the motivation behind it too is, George Bush wants his power to retain, his party to retain power. And so, he's causing fear once again.
Do you really think though, that he would concoct something like that just to stay in office until the end of time? or his
party? Well, no, it's not. It's not necessarily him. It's that. You know, the midterm elections are coming up this year, and of course he won't be able to accomplish anything with a Democrat Congress.
Well, that would be tough. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Go back to work and listen to the show. All kinds of theories keep coming up, don't they? West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling from Washington State, and I just wanted to say that I know you guys were talking about that John Teeter two nights ago.
The time traveler, and we found apparently his family's attorney.
Oh, wonderful.
We're going to try to talk to him in a couple of weeks. We almost had him on the show last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's neat. I'll look forward to that.
Me too.
But the thing about it, the guy was saying that the machine is called the Z machine, and I had a theory that, maybe the scientists came up with the idea for this thing, but then who knows, maybe they checked out the website about John Teeter and then decided to name the machine the Z machine because
Good
it was
point.
Already on the web.
Good point.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people are like really like...
I don't know, though. How many scientists would know about John Teeter, the time traveler? Well, maybe a few would, huh? What do you
think?
Sure,
scientists are smart. I'm sure some of them have to listen to your show.
Well, some of them, though, are mad scientists, too. Well, they are smart, I guess. Dr. Morgus is brilliant in his own way. Except have you heard him on the show?
Oh, probably.
Every experiment that he has done, everyone has gone crazy. Poor guy.
Well, anyways, thank you. I just wanted to share that to everybody out there.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, next up, let's go to who's up next? Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir.
Hey, George, you were in the Navy.
Yes, 9 years.
Really? I was down in Fallon.
However, never saw action. I make a point of telling people that because our men and women who are risking their lives are, truly, I never had to do that.
Well, I did a few aircraft carriers, and anyway, I don't want to go too far into that. Fallon, Nevada, I got two things I want to tell you, and I've been dying to call you. I've been listening since Art was on the show, and I've got two things I got to tell you, and I got to be quick.
Okay, sir.
Okay, first of all, started off, I'm driving over to the commissary. This base has got, like, the Air Force and the Navy. The Navy's the new side. The Air Force was, like, in the 40s and 50s, but the store's still over there. And so I'm driving over to that side, and there's a guy with, a flat tire or something, and I pick him up. And I drive him over to this trailer that's over in this old kind of abandoned part of this Air Force base. Antennas on this thing. This trailer's like, it just looks like a regular trailer, except for there's like these huge antennas. And I drop him off there. I said, "What's this?" And he wouldn't say anything. And so I kept looking at, I kept going to the store and looking over at this trailer, and I'd see vehicles parked there. Well, then they end up putting me in the military police. And I'm at the front gate. And I stopped this guy in a car, and he has no driver's license. I stopped him because he had no plates. He had no registration.
And he wants on the base?
Exactly. And he flashes this badge at me and tells me to get my supervisor. And so I said, okay, not a problem. It was a government badge. It was like a federal badge.
Did it look legitimate to you?
Oh, definitely looked legitimate.
All right.
And so I get my supervisor. Next thing I know, I've got my officer out there, and they're chumming. They driving back to the office. I get off my watch. Sure enough, they're in his office having coffee and everything, right?
Weird. They knew each other.
His car's parked out at that trailer.
What was going on at that trailer?
Well, that, get this. Well, then something happened, and I had to take a message over to this trailer. It was some emergency thing. I had made watch commander. And I had to take this message over to the trailer. And it was evening time. I knock on the door. They open it up. I've never seen so much blue screen since I was on an aircraft carrier in Combat Information Center.
What do you think they were monitoring? Or what do you think
Reno?
They were doing? Reno.
All the antennas were pointed towards Reno. And we sat above Reno because Reno sits down in the valley.
Yeah, what do you think was there?
Couldn't tell you. Now, get this, George. I'm working military police. It's night shift. 30 miles east of the base, we got this bombing range with all kinds of high-tech electronic
stuff.
And we've got military police, two guys that have to go out there and patrol, and they have to do run around all these different little sites and make a round, and the other guy stays at the base station, right? All kinds of electronic gear at this base station, but it's all down. I think it was Ford Aerospace had this stuff, right? And every day I have to send two guys. Every night I send two guys, and then in the morning they get relieved by the day shift.
Okay, 24/7, right? Okay.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right? So I'm standing there. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, Sunday. No flying. We're dead. The base is dead. We get this phone call from a lady who's the front gate watch down at Hawthorne, that little Army weapon storage area. She wants to know if we're flying. I said, no, we're not flying. Why? She says, I'm sitting here looking at Walker Lake with two craft that are hovering. Each one of them's the size of a football field, and they're in tandem. I said, oh, my God, you're kidding. She goes, no, I'm sitting here looking at them. I go, what do they sound like? She goes, I can't hear anything, but there's lights flashing. And I'm sitting here watching them, and they're hovering about 50 feet off the lake. I'm like, oh, my God, you're kidding, right? Next thing I know, I get disconnected with her. And my dispatcher, we're both listening to the call, he's just, like, staring at me, and I'm, like, going, don't make any entries yet. right now, we don't, right? So next thing I know, I get a phone call from some friggin' county, the sheriff, deputy sheriff of someplace down there. And he's like, are you guys flying anything? I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
Right? And I go, why? He goes, I'm watching this thing flying. And I go, well, maybe it's from the Air Force. He goes, son, I did 23 years in the Air Force. I know this isn't any Air Force thing. I was like, well, I can't explain it to you, sir, right?
Why don't they ever take pictures?
Get this. Maybe 2 minutes later, the guy that's at that bait, that thing out at the weapons thing, out at the bombing range, the one guy's on the pick run, the guy calls me up and he's going, I don't know what's going on out here. The whole place lit up. He said every light, every alarm, everything lit up for about 15 seconds and then shut down, and every alarm was going off when he called. I mean, there was alarms, just all kinds of stuff. He goes, I don't know what happened here. And I'm like going, I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, my God. The things they saw, but we got to get pictures. I'll be back in a moment.